from the San Francisco Bay Area. It's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me today on Live from the Bay with Joey. This evening, we have a very special star with us. The great part about doing this show for me is when we touch on those celebrities that were part of the glamour of old Hollywood. Today, I have the honor of having one of those actresses join me, the legendary Rita Lee. And a little bit about her: she was signed by MGM as the youngest of the seven brides for seven brothers, and she was in Funny Face with Fred Astaire, Audrey Hepburn, Tyrone Powers, Secret Love, and Witness for the Prosecution, and Frank Sinatra's leading lady in Sergeant's Three, to name but a few of the many films to her credit. Rita Lee has also launched into television with over 2,000 appearances on shows from Perry Mason to Power Rangers, Twilight Zone to Murder, She Wrote, Hogan's Heroes to Love Boat, and Roseanne. She was a co-host on NBC High Rollers with Alex Trebek, a regular on Hollywood Squares with Peter Marshall, and made several television movies. She's had lead series leads in CBS Coming of Age and HBO's First and 10. Rita has headlines around the country in many musicals, such as Dolly, Annie, Molly, Peter Pan, Mame, Irene, Nellie, Irma Rose, The Woman of the Year, and Madam in the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. These are just a few of her leading roles. Critics have raved about her stage roles, but two stand out, and those two are the unsinkable Molly Brown and Goodbye, Charlie. More recently, she took a star turn in the critically acclaimed Steel Magnolias at Gary Marshall's Falcon Theater, as well as Fort Worth's Casa Mañana and Funny Business at the LA's Coronet. She headlined four seasons to the Hit Musical Review, Senior Class, and Annenberg Theater in Palm Springs. She's acclaimed for her leadership role in The Thalians, and she's going to talk to us about that. And this is a charitable organization which she is committed to, and she started, I believe, with a very good friend of hers, Debbie Reynolds. She has been the chairperson, president, for over 45 years with this organization. Her and her husband, Webb Lowe, have homes in Hollywood, Palm Springs, Fort Worth, and Las Hadas, Mexico. I need to find out about Las Hadas. She says, "We sleep around." She loves Texas and Texans. She loves all animals. And she's a proud mother of four dogs, two cats, and a big white cockatoo. So without further ado, and she's going to talk to us about her new book, by the way. So without further ado, may I introduce you to Rita Lee. Rita, are you there?
I'm here, and that was the most impressive and the lengthiest introduction I've ever had. Thank you and Joe for joining us tonight, and good night.
That's great.
Oh, Joey, thank you.
Absolutely.
You mentioned things that even I forgot.
So how are you?
I am exceedingly well and so happy to be talking with you, and thank you for sharing your wonderful Bay audience. I really did a lot of growing up in the San Francisco area, and the reason I say that is that I was growing up theatrically. First of all, I used to be one of the people that got hired constantly by producer Jaime Del Valle for the original lineup series that was shot in San Francisco. And he was the nicest producer, the sweetest man, Jaime Del Valle. And I think the Del Valles held lots of California land grants. They were an old, Spanish / Mexican family. And they own most of the valley, at least most of it that Bob Hope didn't own. When I say the valley, I meant the San Fernando Valley. But I used to come up a couple of times a year And mm-hmm. he'd hire me to play like three or four or five different characters. And we shot all the exteriors in San Francisco and
no
then
kidding.
Come back down to Hollywood to shoot the interiors. And so, you know, they didn't have those big, beautiful honey wagons that we star types have now on the streets. But so I would jump into the wardrobe truck and change my outfit because here I was playing maybe a society girl, you know, in a fancy club over in Bellevue. And otherwise, I was playing a hooker on another street corner, you know. So I changed hair and makeup and everything myself. But what a great experience. And he took me around to some of the best restaurants and some of the best saloons in San Francisco. And boy, it was a wonderful treat. Then I was there for, I think, about 8 weeks doing Showboat at the Curran Theater.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, wow.
And so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
when you're firmly planted for a few weeks, it's kind of wonderful. And
yeah.
so I really love San Francisco and loved what it did for me and, and for futuring my career. You know, it was just great.
That is awesome.
So it's a pleasure.
I'm sure it's great for you. It brings back a lot of memories. So that said,
sure
when was the last time you were here in the Bay Area?
Oh, I come up, now, of course, it's been a year because of this bloody COVID
right,
thing.
Right, right.
But I
horrible.
Come up at least once or twice a year to
no
see
kidding.
A very dear friend of mine, that lives in San Mateo. And she is the widow of Gene Nelson, the fabulous dancer, you know, at Warner Brothers.
Right.
And
right.
later he turned director, and I worked for him not as a dancer, but as an actress on one of the things, a movie that we did. And so I come up to see her and visit, and so it's always a pleasure. I don't always come into the city because I like to spend as much time as I can with her. She's a dancer from the good old days, but she's well into her 90s now. And therefore, time becomes precious, you know, especially when you have to travel long distances. And I consider anything beyond the 5 minutes that it takes to get anywhere in Palm Springs a long distance.
Right. Well, Sam, just to let you know, I'm about 14 miles south of San Mateo.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I'm actually close to Stanford University, not too far away.
Of course.
And so our show, it's called Live from the Bay with Joe. I was born in San Francisco. My mom was raised in the city, but you know, because it had a catchy name, and but the show actually goes all over. It's heard all over. It's heard on the East Coast. It's heard in California. It's heard in Europe. It's heard in Asia. It's heard in Latin America. It's heard in Australia, New Zealand.
Well, Joey,
bravo
to you, because unless you were an interesting interviewer and your guests weren't interesting, you wouldn't have that lovely position of being able to say we're heard here and there. That's great. Bravo.
Yeah. Thank you. So let's talk about you. So, you know, if I understand correctly, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I understood that either both of your parents or one of your parents was an immigrant, right? From, was it Eastern
both.
Europe? And both were.
Both.
And from, was it
Lithuania?
Lithuanian. Okay.
Lithuania.
And then, I'm just doing this all from memory. And if I understand correctly, you were born in Canada, right?
I was. I was born in Montreal. And
awesome.
Of course, who turned out to be one of my best buddies in the world, but the wonderful Alex Trebek.
Right.
He was born in Ontario, in Sudbury. And so from the day we first said hello and were introduced to each other, we became joined at the hip, and it was just great, you know. In fact, I have to tell you, Joey, that he did the foreword to my book.
No kidding, really?
No kidding.
How,
isn't that great?
How awesome. Yeah, how awesome.
He's on the back cover with me. I felt like I had to honor him as best I could. And he was one of the funniest human beings God put on this earth.
Yeah.
You didn't have much of an opportunity to see, hear, or understand that just from seeing him on his
on
the TV. But unless he was doing a, you know, a visit with Johnny Carson or somebody, but he was truly, truly funny, and he was not a joke teller. He just was one of those people that saw everything through very humorous eyes, and he always had a punchline for everything. So, needless to say, I join America in saying how nice it was to know him, and I miss him terribly.
Yeah, it was such a sad... my mom passed a few years ago, over 2 years ago, but she used to watch him all the time, and she just loved him dearly. And I know America has always loved him. And you were a good friend. When was do you remember the last time you were able to speak with him?
Oh yeah, about 5 days before he died.
Oh, I see.
We had dinner together. I mean, you want to talk
kidding.
About sophistication? This is funny. His ex-wife, Elaine. Well, we were all such good friends, but he maintained a wonderful relationship with Elaine. And in fact, he made like the father of the bride and walked her down the aisle to her now husband, Peter Harris. So I said, now, isn't that sophisticated for those of us who are from old Canada? But we all had dinner together at Elaine's house, and it was just great. And his new wife, well, she's not new anymore, you know, it's 30 years, I guess, is just the most beautiful creature on the inside and the out. And I'm proud that we've maintained wonderful relationships.
Yeah. Well, what a great friend to have, right? I mean,
the best.
The man that America loved and adored and, you know, had to say goodbye to was a good friend of yours and born in the same country as you. So that's so awesome. You know, I'm looking at your illustrious career and then reading about it, et cetera. And you've worked with some really, you know, let's talk about some of the men that you've worked with, leading men, Burt Reynolds, Charles Bronson, Clint Eastwood, Fred Astaire, Bob Crane,
woo-hoo!
Frank Sinatra. Wow, any stories there you want to, with one of them that you'd like to share that stands out in your mind?
Well, there are just so darn many stories, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine.
A lot of them are in the book, by the way.
Great.
Which I guess I should mention because
yes, you
it's
should.
The most popular title that I think I could have done. And there's, you know, I have been in the fundraising business, and it is kind of a business because you have to work hard at it for mental health. Debbie Reynolds and I were the mother superiors of an organization called the Thalians, which was put together by young actors, and they discovered that mental health was the thing that needed the most attention. And while we built a clinic and maintained it for many, many years, and that dealt with mental health problems from pediatric through geriatric, we felt that there was a group that was being totally ignored and not being taken care of the way they should be, and they are the beautiful young men and women who put their lives on the line for us every day in the military, and then they come back home injured and frayed mentally, and they fall through the cracks. And so we teamed up with UCLA, and they have an organization called Operation Mend. And those beautiful people mend and heal the broken bodies, the broken faces and heads and everything of these gorgeous young people. And we Thalians are trying to mend the broken mind and spirit. And I'm very proud of us for what we've been able to do. We've raised millions and millions and millions of dollars for mental health. And I just love the fact that these not so young anymore, but still involved actors have dedicated their lives to it. And we used to honor to raise funds every year. We'd do a great big, huge show. And everybody did their work for free.
Actors
are the only people in the world that give away the only thing they have to sell, you know?
Yes.
And we honored everybody from the aforementioned Frank Sinatra through Gene Kelly, through Whoopi Goldberg, through Liza Minnelli, through Angela Lansbury, through my very best buddy, Phyllis Diller. We did shows wrapped around these people, and we raised big bucks. Of course, it was hard work. I swear, I think I could run General Motors easier than it is to put a show together, you know. But anyway, big, big bucks, and they were all wonderful. You know, Frank came, and you talked about Clint Eastwood. Took me 20 years to get Clint Eastwood to say yes to being our honoree. And I called him one day and said, damn it, Clint, I can't keep doing this. Now, come on, my birthday is coming up. My birthday is May the 30th. Give me a big birthday present, and I won't bug you again. Just tell me that you'll be our honoree this year. And he said, well, why don't you give me a present, because my birthday is the 31st, and tell me that I don't have to come. But I didn't let him get away with that. He came, and he was a wonderful honoree and most gracious and just wonderful with everybody around him.
So that's awesome.
Isn't that great?
That's a great story.
The men in my life are really special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great story. So, and you know, of course, you mentioned Phyllis Diller as one of your good friends, and then the co-founder of the Thalians with Zebby Reynolds. And then there's been other female stars that have been good friends of yours, like Lucille Ball, Sally Field, right?
Lucille was truly a long-time, very, very good friend.
Yeah, what a great actress.
Wonderful, wonderful. This beautiful, beautiful woman was also very funny, you know, because you think that comedians are not beauties, you know, that's not what stands out about them. But she started out as a model, of course, you know, and a showgirl, and then wound up doing drama, and out of the drama came comedy. And boy, what a remarkable career that has been. And she was always very generous and very loving to me. She, in fact, was one of our honorees at the Thalians. I asked her to chair a City of Hope event where I was being honored, and she did that. I asked her to do, she would, which is pretty frigging amazing because
these
are people whose lives are so busy, and they have, you know, celebrities have really very little time for themselves and family because your career is wrapped up in selling not just yourself, but the product that you have produced or you're part of,
right.
You know.
Right, right, absolutely.
And, and so we're very, very grateful to people like yourself who help us pitch whatever it is we have to pitch, whether it's money for the Thalians or whether it's the sale of my book. I started to tell you about the title of my book.
Right, right, right. Well,
George Pinocchio.
Yep.
Do you know George, by the way? He's the red carpet man for ABC television.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a longtime good friend of mine. And he's, you know, the Hollywood reporter with all the news. And he has always heard me say, because when I'm raising money for the Thalians and somebody, I don't care if they give me $10 or they give me $10,000 or $100,000, I am quick to say, in true and honest gratitude, consider your ass kissed. And he said, Ruta, if you ever write a book, that should be the title of it. And he's so right. Because mean it sincerely, that if anybody took the time to go buy my book or turn on set because I was going to be on or come to the theater to see me or buy my product or whatever it is, please consider your ass kissed.
You know, that is a really clever name because when I first read it, I was like, oh, that's interesting. But there must be a meaning behind that, right? And then you're absolutely that's so awesome. And I'll tell you something. I know that there's going to be people that want to get this book. So and I'm sure if they're going to be able to go on your website as well, because there'll be information on there as well, correct?
Oh, yes, there will be, of course. However, it's very simple. Now, of course, I feel like whenever we can, especially now with this COVID hopefully calming down a bit, I always say support your local whatever, you know, your bookstore, mm-hmm. whatever. But it will be available all through Barnes & Noble, and it will be available on Amazon. So
oh, great.
That makes it easy. That makes it easy for everybody.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, as we can, as things lighten up and do, I am mm-hmm. hoping to hit, you know, book parties and mm-hmm. visits all the way across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I am always, Joey, so honored and so grateful mm-hmm. that my television friends have invited me into their home, whether it's in their living room or their den or their kitchen or their bedroom or their bathroom if they're rich and have
mm-hmm.
a television.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honored to death, you know, that people do that. And so I sincerely mean it from the bottom of my heart when I thank you and all of the lovely media people that help us
mm-hmm.
do whatever we have to do. But above
mm-hmm.
all, and I don't call the people that come into my life my fans. I call them my friends. I don't make fans.
Oh,
I make friends.
That's awesome. How awesome
well,
is
I try.
That?
Let's put it that way.
No, that's awesome. Well, I want to tell you, Ruta, one of the reasons I started this show in 2005 was probably what you probably don't know about me, or maybe you do. But you can Google it and you'll find out. But I'm a singer, a songwriter. I've done acting. And all this, I wanted to do a show that really capped on the entertainment industry. Now, of course, we do shows that talk about other things like spirituality, because I'm very spiritual, and, you know, other topics, food, because everybody likes food and wine and all that kind of stuff, and places to travel. But I have been so blessed to have had the opportunity to interview some great people like yourself that have been, you know, icons in Hollywood of what we've known as, you know, the old Hollywood, right? And I'm 60
uh-huh.
and I grew up, I'm 60 years old and I grew up watching you and seeing you in different things. So to me, it's a real treat. And, you know, we don't have that element. Unfortunately, today there's something lacking. Can I say this? Is that all right? If I say this,
please do. Because I'm right on the same page with you.
Yeah. There's something lacking in Hollywood. And, I just don't see it in, unfortunately, I don't see it in a lot of these young actors. And I think that we've got so many actors out there that studied, that were phenomenal, that are that still have many, many years of life left in them, that are not out there doing things. And we have these other people doing shows that maybe I think are subpar, and I don't think are worth their money. And so, and I don't see that glamour anymore. And it's kind of, you know, I feel the same way about many things, even in sports, you know, it's just, it's not the same. And I'm not talking like I'm an old man or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s and, you know, and as a child in the 60s, as a really young kid, there was something then that I don't see now. So I'm trying to do everything in my power, and my hat goes off to like Harlan, who is working with people like yourself and other people that have been a vital part of this industry for so many years, and really giving them a platform again and place to scope. And everybody will watch you, and everybody knows who you are, and that's a great thing. But I think it's just as important for younger people, those that are, you know, in their early 20s and 30s and early 30s, for them to know these celebrities, to know about the stars from past movies that were icons. And, you know, there's something that's missing today. And I'm so glad that even during this time of COVID, right, what it has forced people to do, families to do, is to spend time with each other. And in that, some people are forced to be able to go back and watch some old movies and see some things that they never knew existed before. Right?
You're so right about that. But you're so right that our industry today, and I mean, I'm looking at it from a different perspective because it's now from an older person's point of view. And, of course, older people have always said, when I was a kid, it was like this. But
right.
Hollywood and the personas and the personalities it produced,
right.
for better or worse, were glamorous. They presented a lifestyle and a look and a feeling that everybody kind of envied and thought, I strive for something like that. And I don't see that now. I don't see anything pretty about life. I don't see anything being presented that smacked of, I need to earn that. I need to work hard and achieve something like that. And the other thing that I really noticed that I want to hit on with you for a second, and now I realize, please, I want all your friends to realize that I'm generalizing when I say this. But overall, that humility and that credo of giving either forward or back is very, very faint in this generation.
Mm.
It's very much a me generation, what's
mm-hmm.
in it for me, without
right.
much thought about what can I give back for every good thing that's come my way.
Mm.
And things come to ways, you know, come to pass with people who have never really worked very hard for anything. No, I'm not saying that everybody. Please, again, I'm generalizing. But I'm terrified of that. I mean,
right.
it used to be that if I asked Frank Sinatra or I asked Bing Crosby or Bob Hope or Angela Lansbury to do something, they came, they did it, they smiled, they were gracious with everybody. Nowadays, it's okay. First of all, there's this plethora of management and agents and handlers and everything
mm-hmm.
surrounding the big stars of today, right?
Right.
And so to get through that phalanx of people is unbelievable. And if you can get person to person, then maybe you make contact. But nowadays it's, they might be available October the 12th. Maybe. Let me find out. But if he or she comes, you'll have to send a private plane. They don't fly coach, right? And then there will be a party of six traveling. And the musicians, you'll have to pick up the tab for them. You'll have to house everybody. I need a table of 12 at the event. There goes all your profit.
Right.
There goes all the money that you wanted for mental health.
That's correct.
And then, of course, they'll throw in, and there will be a Rolex at the end, right?
Mm.
So, you know, what can I tell you? This is sort of something that I've run into. And it's very difficult because I was trying to replace myself and my best friend in the world, Debbie Reynolds, in the organization. And there weren't very many people that I could even approach about becoming seriously involved with the Thalians. Oh, they admired and respected and all of that, but didn't want the hard work.
Isn't that
so
sad?
What can I tell you, you know? But nevertheless, the Thalians goes on. We're still
good.
Raising money for, and so I'm going to ask your listeners to go to the Thalians, thalians.org, and you can read all about us and what's going on in our life and how you might possibly think about sending me, you know, $5, like I say, or $25 or $100.
That's awesome.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And it all goes to benefit our wounded warriors and their mental health problems.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very, and you know, I know about this kind of stuff about mental health simply because my normal 9-to-5 position for many years was a pharmaceutical representative and a hospital representative. And I actually called on many mental health organizations and hospitals and called on a lot of psychs and everything else. But I want to tell you a story because you touched on this. Years ago, I heard about post-traumatic stress disorder and a lot of people coming back from being wounded in war, like people that you're trying to reach. And there was a part of me that thought, even after years of being a representative dealing with mental health, but it was covering depression and things of that nature. But I thought to myself, I wonder if the people claiming to have PTSD, it's just a bunch of malarkey and it's just, you know, it's not real. It's fabricated or partially fabricated. I hate to say this and confess this, but I know you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
3 years ago, I experienced it myself.
Do you know what brought it on?
Yeah, the death of my mom.
Ah.
And yeah. I went through...
That's a familiar place for a lot of people. So I like your story because it will touch people who are living through what you did live through.
Yeah, it's been a rough road. Let me just tell you, it's been a rough road. And it was like a lesson. I'm like, okay, God, I understand. You know, judge not lest you be judged, you know. And
yes,
and I was like, okay, I got it. I really understand this now. It's very
boy,
real.
Do I know. You know, this has been a very rough year for me. COVID is nothing compared to, first of all, I lost my husband just about 6 months ago, eight months ago. I lost my good buddy, Alex Trebek.
Yes.
And the year before that, I lost Debbie. And so I just sort of said, wow, Lord, you're dumping a lot of stuff in my lap.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
But deal with it. And how did you deal with it?
Are you asking me how I dealt with it?
Yeah.
I'm still dealing with
it. How did you deal with it? You're still dealing.
I'm still dealing with it.
Well,
a lot of prayer, a lot of
yeah, I was
going to
say your belief in a higher power helps.
Yeah, absolutely. That I'm going to get through this, that God's got my back and that I'm getting,
yeah.
You know, and then I believe heavily in spirituality. So I am of the belief, Ruta, that and just because of what's happened in my life and because and we can talk about this at another time, but I kind of walk in two worlds. So I'm kind of a seer. So I definitely believe that there's more to this life than what we see. And so there is a life after this, and the spirit lives on. So when people do pass from this life, they have not died. They continue, and their spirit continues to live on. And so that has helped me through that separation.
Good.
And I've had within the last 10 or 15 years, I've had probably about 20 to 25 friends, family that have passed. And it's been rough. It's been rough. But I my heart goes out to you because I understand, and I understand how that feels. It's a hard place to be in, right?
It's a hard place.
Mm-hmm. It's very
it is,
difficult.
But the joy for me that I find is that I can look back on my 46 years with my husband and my even longer, about the same amount of time with my good buddy Alex and, of course, my darling friend Debbie. And I look back on those years and I say, thank you. I am so grateful to have had the laughter, the joy, the giggles, the hysteria, the passion, the pissing and moaning about things, all of it was so wondrous with all of these people that added so much to my life that I can do nothing but even in sadness say thank you, thank you, thank you to the power that makes it all happen. Thank you for letting it happen to me.
That's awesome. Wow. What a powerful. I just read from a friend of mine that posted something on Facebook. Actually, she was in my band for years and her mother just recently passed. And that was the same thing that she just said. She said at the end, thank you, God. Thank you for bringing her into my life. Thank you for my mother. You know, and that's something that I said too. And that's something that you're saying too. And I think that that's something that we all, even through like, to your point, this COVID-19, it's been so hard for a lot of people this past, bit over a year. And people are just coming unglued, as you probably already know. And at least here in the Bay Area, they're just driving like crazies out there because they've been locked up. They feel like I've been locked up for so long, and to be able to have to deal with losing family members, not being able to say goodbye to them, to losing animals, and not being able to say, I mean, these things are horrendous for people. But thank you for being able to speak hope into people's lives.
I just hope we haven't put everybody into a depression with our talk
No. Because we're going to go back to your we're going to go back to talking about your book. And so this book, folks, is available Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I'm going to tell you, Ruta, that's a great thing now because this is the way people are buying, actually.
Yes, it is. And you know what I love is that it's not a big expensive book. It's like $27 or something, you know?
Okay.
And so,
all right.
we spend that on a cup of coffee at one
Starbucks?
Of our coffee shops, you know, yeah, Starbucks. So I'm thinking it's kind of a fun way to, I think, the reason I did the book, I have to tell you this right off the bat, my darling. Mm-hmm. Is that a good friend of mine in Texas, who's a public relations person also, said, Ruta, you know, you've got the most fun stories. You always have us laughing with these stories and the craziness that has happened with you and show business and the people that you know. You should be sharing those stories. You should be writing those down. Well, I was thinking about it for the last 10 years, and finally he said, you know, you're never going to do this. I'm coming out, and I'm going to record all your stories. I'm going to record everything. And then I'll transcribe them, and we'll put it into, you know, chapters. And that's exactly what we did. Of course, when we recorded, he got every burp, he got every dog bark, every phone ring, every, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom, you know, every one of those also got printed.
Yeah, that's funny.
So,
that's...
But it's just wonderful. And I just had a very good time. Listen. It's not a good time. Sitting down and writing is not easy. I cannot begin to tell you. I think I would rather dig ditches than do that. Because, first of all, I flunked typing 4 times in high school when I was going to Hollywood High. And they finally kicked me out and said, go take shop or something. You'll do better.
Oh, wow.
So for me to type, I must say, I still use my – two-finger hunt and peck system, you know. For me to do that was next to impossible. So I truly admire anybody that sits down and does a book. And when you think about the authors that keep turning them out, one a year or whatever they do, wow, boy, do I admire their patience. Because that God was very good to me with a lot of gifts, a lot of talent and a lot of energy and a lot of love and laughter. But he shorted me on patience, and I don't have patience with myself or anybody else.
Me too. I admit, no, I'm the same way. I'm very, it's taken me, it takes me a bit, you know. Sometimes when I start to lose it or lose my, you know, cool or lose my, you know,
yeah,
I just go,
yeah,
you know, step back, Joey, just let it go. But, you know, writing, writing is difficult. It's a very difficult, I write as a songwriter as well. And it takes a lot of, you just have to have a lot of determination. You have to,
exactly, you have to be dedicated. Yeah.
Dedicated to say, you know what, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to write this, as painful as it may be.
Well, I think you picked a business end of writing that is really tough. I mean, to first of all, to make thoughts in words fit musical notes, to me, is a very difficult thing to do. Debbie was very good at taking any tune and making up a lyric to go with it to fit the program, to fit the anniversary or the gag she wanted to pull or whatever. I was not that gifted in that area.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, it's it was tough. It's been a hard road, and I've had some Billboard. I had an award by Billboard, if you know, years ago,
yes,
for my songwriting.
Yeah.
But the thing was that I remember one time, I'll just share this with you. I wanted to, you know, I believe that you write by two things. You either write by inspiration or you write by perspiration. All right. And so, so I decided that I was going to go down to Mexico and go to, I don't know where I went to. I can't even remember. It was years ago. And I went to, Puerto Vallarta. And I
Puerto Vallarta,
Spanish,
yeah.
Fluent. Yeah, and I speak Spanish fully. So I was going to go down there, and I thought, I'm going to lay out in the sun, and I'm going to be inspired, and I'm going to write a tune. Well, that didn't happen. And I was going to be there for a week, and I returned in 2 days because I was completely sunburned and blistered, because I spent too much time out in the sun the first day. But you know
getting
what?
Getting inspired.
Does, yeah, yeah. But it does take a lot of dedication to write. So my hat goes off to you for doing this. And I know that a lot of people, a lot of the listeners and people that love old Hollywood, et cetera, your fans, or as you say, your friends, are going to love getting a hold of that. So either via Barnes & Noble or Amazon, they can go onto your website at www.rutalee.com. Again, www.rutalee.com. What else, in closing, did you want to tell us? Because I've had such a wonderful time talking to you. I could talk to you forever, but
well, let's pick this up again another time, you know.
Absolutely,
and,
absolutely.
When
you're awesome.
Come to visit in California, come live and we'll do it.
Well,
you know,
I am in California. Remember, I am in California. I'm
well,
in the Bay
Area.
Well,
I mean, when you come to Southern, excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, Southern California.
You Northerners are a little bit snobby about the South, you know. But
is
we
that right?
Come on down.
There's
come
always
down
been that
Tom
rivalry,
Spring.
Right? There's always.
Yes, of
I've
course.
Heard,
of course.
I've heard Southern California has a name for us in Northern California, and they call
which
us NoCal. NoCal.
And we're
and
local,
you know,
is that it?
Yeah, exactly. I had a friend one time that was from Southern California, came up to the Bay Area, was staying up in Napa, said, Joey, you got to come say hello. I haven't seen you in a while. So anyway, he was writing his girlfriend this letter. And so he said, tell me how this letter sounds. Now he's in Napa, mind you. So that's, you know, less, it's about 2 hours from where I live, less than 2 hours,
yes,
an hour and a half. And he's writing to his girlfriend. He says, here I am in this lovely cottage in Oregon. And then he went on and on. And so he said, so what did you think about the letter? I said, the letter was great, but where do you get Oregon from? I said, you're in Northern California. He said, yeah, but for us in Southern California, you might as well be in Oregon, because this is more like Oregon than it is California, right? Yeah, so,
yeah.
But anything else you want to leave the listeners with, Ruta? And we definitely will have you. I'll talk to Harlan. We'll have you come back. And then if I'm in your neck of the woods, I'll definitely reach out to you. Absolutely.
Sure. The only thing that I would like to say is that once again, I reiterate that I'm very grateful for anybody who has sort of followed me or tuned in to watch me on a show or gone to a movie to see me or come to a theater to see me, whatever the case may be. And and I always love the idea that when people came backstage, I always made a point of having people come backstage and visit and sign programs or whatever. Most people came backstage not saying, "Oh, Miss Lee, can I have your autograph?" It was, "Hey, Ruta Lee, you want to come over for dinner Sunday? We're having the gang over." And I just find that so enchanting, you know. And I also just want to say that there will be some people in this world who have forgotten their sense of humor and will go, "Oh, my good, she used the word ass." Well, the only thing I can say about that is if Jesus could ride into Jerusalem on his ass, I could kiss it.
That's pretty funny. That is pretty funny. And hey, thank you so much. In closing, again, if somebody's interested in donating to
Thalians,
again, let them know how they can do that.
Very easy. Just go to the Thalians, thalians.org. And you will see all kinds of things on either donating or knowing more about us and all of the stars that we have dealt with who have been such an integral part of our history, of our 60-year, now going on 65-year history, you know.
Wow.
And the biggest stars in Hollywood came and worked and did for us and with us. And they honored the two ladies, meaning Debbie Reynolds and myself, for the many, many years of hard work of getting the show turkey on the table every year, you know, and, and creating a great big event. So I thank, well, Americans are the most generous people on the face of this earth. Mm-hmm. If you just have the opportunity to tell them your story, your need, your whatever, they'll come through. So I just say, God bless you, Joey. God bless all of your listeners, and may God continue to bless America.
And God bless you as well. And again, Ruta, it's been a wonder for me to just even have this opportunity and a joy and an honor to have you sharing with us. It's been wonderful. You're a wonderful person. You know, my heart goes out to you again. And but I'm excited for you because of your book. So folks, again, it's go to her website, www.rutalee.com. Again, www.rutalee.com. And again, Ruta, thank you so much. And we will look forward to having you join us again in the future. And folks, again, thank you so much for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey. Be sure to share the show with your friends and family, okay? Until the next time, thank you.